This is DW News coming to you live from Berlin. The bartering begins. Britain's Prime Minister makes an offer on the rights of EU citizens after Brexit. Theresa May says people from EU countries will be allowed to live and work in Britain under certain conditions when the country leaves the EU. European leaders at a summit in Brussels welcomed her gesture as a first step, but say it doesn't go far enough. Also coming up, it's exactly 1 year since Britain voted to leave the EU. How does the country feel about it today? Our correspondent checks in with both Brexiteers and Remainers. And Arab states say they will end their blockade of Qatar if the country meets a list of demands, including closing the broadcaster Al Jazeera. We'll get a view from Doha. Hello and welcome. I'm Amrita Chima. European Union leaders have expressed dissatisfaction with Britain's offer on the fate of Europeans living in the UK following the country's exit from the EU. EU Council President Donald Tusk said the offer from Prime Minister Theresa May did not meet expectations. A day earlier, May addressed EU leaders at dinner and made an offer guaranteeing the rights of EU citizens under certain conditions. We'll speak to our correspondent in Brussels in just a bit, but first, here's more on what Donald Tusk had to say.
We want to ensure the full rights for EU and UK citizens after Brexit. My first impression is that the UK's offer is below our expectations and that it risks worsening the situation of citizens. But it will be for our negotiating team to analyse the offer line by line, once we receive it on paper.
Let's now draw in DW's correspondent Georg Matters. He's at the EU summit, which is drawing to a close. Georg, it seems not everyone there's happy with May's attempts to reassure EU citizens living in the UK post-Brexit. Tell us more about what's being said.
That's right, Amrita. I would say that leaders have confirmed that generally this offer goes into the right direction to give EU citizens in the UK as many rights as possible, not to tear families apart. That's where everybody's on the same page. But it's when the devil is really in the detail here. When you look at the timings, the dates, whenever this applies, when you look at the checks, which justice system will be responsible, has the European Court of Justice, Theresa May, ruled out that the European Court of Justice can have any say in this, that this is something they want to take back, that is within their sovereignty. So the question is then, who makes sure that the agreements are actually adhered to? And then, of course, overall, the UK has always made clear the negotiations only end at the end, and there's the concern that the citizen rights may become, again, a bargaining chip. So a number of unanswered questions and concerns here, really. And the EU leaders know, of course, as well, that the big questions, the really challenging ones, are still on the table, and that is a hard border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, or the Brexit bill that needs to be settled.
Now, German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Macron are due to hold a joint press conference there shortly. What's the message expected to be?
Amrita, if you take a look over my right shoulder, that press conference has just started. And it's a rare thing that two EU leaders have a press conference together, but it's a strong sign of unity. And that is what both of them have emphasized they hope to achieve on this summit. So far, only the French leader has spoken, and he has said that Europe is the best protection in the face of global challenges. Today, they talked a lot about trade, about globalization, and they both mentioned a number of factors on this two-day summit they have achieved. So there's agreement on extending sanctions against Russia over the Crimea crisis. There's been agreement on climate. There's been agreement on how to relocate two EU agencies that are currently based in London and after Brexit will have to be relocated. So there's a whole range of issues. Defense is another example where there is strong agreement among European leaders, by the way, also including the UK.
Right, and we can in fact see Chancellor Angela Merkel speaking on the screen over your shoulder, as you said. Now, some of the Eastern member states are not that keen on deeper integration within the EU. What came of that at this meeting?
The French president had an extra bilateral meeting with the key four countries that are resisting the idea to relocate the decision, in fact, an EU council took to relocate some 160,000 refugees. They don't want to take in these people. And the French president, in his press conference just now, said that there needs to be solidarity. These people need to be taken in. And it's a long-term challenge that Europe is facing. So no sign that this conflict line has been resolved, but he's very much committed. He made very clear that the European Union for
Georg, I have to interrupt you here because we're getting breaking news. Theresa May is addressing journalists in Brussels. Let's take a listen to what she has to say.
Discuss the importance of the EU pursuing an ambitious trade policy, delivering jobs and growth. That trade must be fair as well as free. And the UK will continue to play a leading role in pushing for openness in global trade. On migration, I emphasise the UK would continue to play its part in tackling the ongoing migration crisis, which is a challenge for our entire continent. The Council recommitted to a comprehensive approach to the crisis. That means dealing with the drivers of migration while also doing more to stem the flow of migration. This summit focused on the central Mediterranean route, and I confirmed a new UK bilateral commitment of £75 million to meet urgent humanitarian needs while also facilitating voluntary returns of migrants making these treacherous journeys. Finally, after the constructive start to our Brexit negotiations earlier this week, I wanted to briefly set out to my fellow European leaders the UK's approach to giving reassurance and certainty to EU citizens living in the UK. I want all those EU citizens who are in the UK, who've made their lives and homes in our country, to know that no one will have to leave. We won't be seeing families split apart. People will be able to go on living their lives as before. This is a fair and serious offer. It gives those 3 million EU citizens in the UK certainty about the future of their lives. And we want the same certainty for the more than 1 million UK citizens who are living in the European Union. On Monday, I will publish my proposals in full and look forward to reaching an agreement at the earliest possible date. Now, any questions? Yes. I'll take Laura and then I'll come over here.
Thank you very much, Prime Minister. BBC News. A year ago today, British voters...
You were just watching Theresa May addressing journalists at the end of a two-day summit in Brussels. Let's return to our correspondent, Georg Mattis, in Brussels, who's been covering that summit for us. Georg, we heard what Theresa May had to say. She once again said she wants to offer certainty and reassurance to EU citizens, some 3 million of them, living in the UK post-Brexit. And she's demanding the same kind of reassurance from EU leaders about the some 1 million British citizens living on the continent. As you were telling me earlier, the EU is not very happy with what they've been hearing. They're asking for more clarification. Remind us of what Donald Tusk had to say.
I think the point EU leaders are making here is that's all fair and good, but it's not exactly generous because that is something the EU would have suggested as well. They do want to provide the same rights as the EU citizens are currently enjoying and as UK citizens are enjoying in Europe. So they're all pretty much on the same page here. But if you talk about a generous offer someone put to me here on the sidelines, you should make clear and you should deliver the security also that should come with an offer like that. And that is something they're lacking. It's sort of the details of this offer that Theresa May could be more clear about. But generally, it is, of course, something that the EU wants. They want security for EU citizens in the UK and vice versa.
And she, of course, said she'll have more details by Monday. Georg Mattis in Brussels covering that EU summit for us. Thank you very much for that. And well, today is exactly 1 year since people in Britain voted to leave the EU. And if you remember, that result of the referendum sent shockwaves, not just across Britain, but across across Europe. So what's the mood in Britain like 1 year on? Our London correspondent, Birgit Maas, sent us this report.
I won't stay in the EU.
He might look like the British Foreign Secretary, but Drew Goldrin is decidedly anti-Brexit. He's campaigning with other Londoners to keep Britain in the European Union. His goal?
Have another referendum and put the question again to the British people. Leave won the previous referendum on the basis of lies told by the Leave campaign.
Brexit will damage the UK.
Most of the people in this group, including Gareth Williams, an IT consultant, only got involved in the issue after last year's referendum. Now he's out three times a week.
You know, basically saying, look, we're here, we're not going away, you know, our voice still counts.
It's the process isn't over. It's still going to be nearly another 2 years.
But this group of activists is hardly representative of the wider public, and it hasn't been easy winning people over. Opinion polls suggest most Brits who voted to leave the EU last June haven't changed their minds.
There isn't any evidence of any clear, major, significant change in the balance of opinion. This is a country that divided over Brexit, and this is a country that's still divided over Brexit 12 months later.
Voters in Romford, on the eastern outskirts of London, overwhelmingly favoured Brexit in last year's vote. Tony Geary is just as anti-EU now as he was then.
There's too many people in this country, don't matter what colour, what race, what size they are, there's too many people, and we've got to stop more people coming in because we'll sink.
Halting immigration seems more important than the possible economic consequences of Britain's leaving the EU. Some traders are already dealing with higher wholesale prices.
I've lost out slightly, but in the longer run, I think it's for the benefit of the country and for me as a business.
But even some Brexiteers in Romford are getting anxious about the Prime Minister's negotiating tactics.
It's just going to be a hard fight. It ain't going to be as easy as they thought. And I don't think she'll have to go by the situation, no deal, we pull out. She's got to be a little bit softer, but not too soft.
The front lines have not shifted that much, but the battle over Europe is far from over. Great.
In other news, four Arab states that have cut ties to Qatar over alleged support for terrorism have issued a steep list of demands to end the crisis. The countries are insisting Qatar shut down its Al Jazeera TV network, reduce diplomatic relations with Iran, and sever all ties with the Muslim Brotherhood. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain have given Qatar 10 days to comply with the demands. But Qatar's government has said it will not negotiate until the nations lift their blockade. I spoke earlier to Dr. Abdulaziz Al-Hur in Doha. He's the CEO of Qatar Finance and Business Academy. That's an educational organization linked to the Qatari government. I started by asking him, what was the likelihood of Qatar accepting any or one of the demands?
As long as we are not talking about the sovereignty of the country, Qatar is willing to put on the table and to discuss and to really address the concern of these countries on the table.
So what do you mean when you talk about the sovereignty of Qatar is at stake? Many analysts think that this dispute is really to do with Iran.
Actually, for the last 20 years, Qatar has been positioning itself as a peacemaker country, a small country that would like to have a good relationship with all neighbor countries, be it GCC or Iran or Turkey or any other country. Therefore, this country has made its position in terms of foreign relationship and international relationship in a very unique unique way. And this is the complete and the full right of any country to shape its foreign policies and foreign relationship according to the mutual interest of these countries, including Iran, GCC, and other countries as well.
Abdul Aziz Alher of Qatar Finance and Business Academy in